Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand everything about what we need to do here on this earth and where we are and how it is and all the details so that we can recognize the situation and then bring into play the power that you provided for us by means of the Spirit and your Word. So as we study, we ask that the information would be understood and be able to be applied, and we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our study of Romans, we're between chapter 7 and 8 and a topical study of the heart of the soul, which is our last topical study before we get into 8. We're looking at how information as knowledge is turned into wisdom and for application. Basically, we've discussed the fact that the mind and the heart work together to acquire the data that God has for us, is taught, and it basically copies the way the process works for all data. It's just a question of the Holy Spirit providing additional information or ability to understand as we're filled with the Spirit. And of course, to do that, you have to have the filling of the Spirit, which means you've got to be a believer in Jesus. So that means that the natural man does not understand God's plan or anything about it. They have a knowledge from their perspective, which is sin nature related and from the devil, but they don't have an accurate, correct viewpoint. And we're going to see today if we have incorrect information if we don't have doctrinal specificity. Doctrinal specificity is required for accurate understanding of the situation. And that's the big problem with the church is that you have that problem. It's interesting how it seems that the devil and his minions are always locked in lockstep, and they never break ranks. But believers, Christians, break ranks all the time. They're fragmented, and the reason for the fragmentation is lack of doctrinal specificity. They don't have the clarity of thought that they should have about truth, and that's because the pastors aren't doing their job. We noted that the heart pumps epinosis doctrine, knowledge through the frame of reference, memory center, vocabulary, and category of storage compartment. So this is how you actually understand what you know and actually can use it. And again, the process goes from actually pneumatika to gnosis to epinosis to sophia. That's how it's actually operated in whole. And Jesus talked about to the disciples, they were concerned about eating from unclean utensils or without washing their hands. And the Gospels talk about that situation, and Jesus says, well, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out. And of course, what comes out is what you say, and what you say is what's in your thinking, and your thinking is what's in your heart. So that's, in essence, telling us that everything we need to understand about this process is related to how we think and why we think what we think. Without concentration and positive listen to what is being taught in Bible class, you will not develop the vocabulary or categorical storage that's necessary to understand the spiritual information that is the Holy Spirit is teaching. So basically, we understand this because of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit as we're filled with the Spirit, and that's required for us to have proper understanding. And the big component that's missing without the ministry of the Spirit is grace. Because grace is God's policy towards us. It's all about what He's free to do for us on the basis of what Jesus did. And He sets us up in a position of grace so that He can convey greater grace to us. And advancing in the spiritual life is basically characterized by increasing grace. So grace is what? It's what God does for us, not what we do for God. And that's one of the big fallacies in people's failure to understand the truth, is they think that it's what they do. It's not about what they do. It's about what they receive. Now, as a result of what they receive, they will do something different. Now, because as a process of receiving, your information, the information that's in your soul changes. It's called renovation of the thinking, or Colonel Thiem coined the word or utilized the phrase epistemological rehabilitation. that phrase actually addresses more than just the thinking of changing the thinking. It actually addresses the process of the changing of how we think. The mechanism for not just what we think, but how we acquire what we think. You move from a rational perspective related to human capabilities to a rational perspective based in God's grace. And the two are not necessarily incompatible, but God's grace system is superior. And it adds a level of thanksgiving and orientation to God's proficiency and authority to the process. So our motivation has changed. It's not just what we do that changes, it's why we do it and how we do it, because the filling of the Spirit is critical. So when you understand grace, you understand the necessity of the ministry of the Spirit. Without grace, you can say, well, I can understand it on my own. Well, you can understand what you think you understand on your own, but you can't get the truth that way. That's the problem. And also you have the issue of the communication gift of pastor-teacher and why that comes into play and how that's supposed to operate. Now, that's the big problem in the church today, is the way pastors are operating, or should I say failing to operate most of the time. Proverbs 2:10, it says, wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge of doctrine will be pleasant to your soul. So here we see that information in the thinking is related to food in the stomach. It's not the same, but it's analogous. So we're satisfied as we have more data or information that we can process. And God actually works in us to create a desire for His Word. That's part of the gap the gap in unbelievers' happiness, to a large extent, for that matter, believers' happiness, if they don't have doctrine, is related to the lack of information regarding God. And the information from God fills those voids. So God actually puts a desire in our hearts to do what He would have us do, and then we have to yield or orient to that in humility to actually fulfill that mandate or fulfill that need. And people who reject it end up off the rail in situations that are antithetical to what they want. They think they're going to get there, but they don't, because it doesn't take them where they want to go. The propaganda says it'll take them there, but the Word of God says no. For example, happiness comes from God's Word of Truth, not from your situation in life, not from the details of life. The devil's lie is that happiness comes from the people in your life, the circumstances of your life, the money you got, all that stuff. It's all based on your external situation. Well, no, but Jesus says no. It's not related to that. It's related to doctrine in your soul. Happy is one who listens to my Father's word and keeps it. That's where happiness starts. Now, happiness from that perspective creates capacity for greater blessing from God, which may well be related to circumstances. It doesn't have to be, but generally it is, at least somewhat, because God's interested in continuing your life on this planet, and if you don't have the proper resources to live here physically, you're not going to be able to stay very long. So, you know, until God's ready to take you out of here, He's going to provide you with what you need. So we see here that there is no wisdom until the information that's understood enters the right lobe, that's our heart, and is believed as truth, for it to be written in the tablet of the heart, per Proverbs 3:3c. It says, and in 3:3 it says, why are we doing this? I don't know why it's not going there. Last phrase. There's three phrases in this verse. Last one. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So that explains that the heart is an area where data is recorded and made available for recall. Because that's what you do when you write something down. You put it on a piece of paper, put it in your pocket, and now you got a list of whatever you're going to do when you go where you're going. So it's like that. Only this is one that's in the thinking. It's actually recorded in the thinking. The word pleasant here in Proverbs 2:10 refers to the effect of the problem-solving devices on your soul as you become copacetic. That's a Joe Griffin word. Because you know how to solve your own problems with God's word of truth. Like you could, the word, the Bible uses the word contentment here. But copacetic adds a kind of an additional concept of being happy with the situation. So you can be content. The copacetic adds a level of satisfaction, concept of that. It's a more modern word, kind of invented in the early 1900s, I guess. Back during in the 20s, before the Depression. Because you know how to solve your own problems with God's word of truth under the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what's happening here is we, as believers, listen to the word of God. It teaches us how to acquire more information. And that additional information provides, as we acquire it, provides greater and greater capacity for God to provide direct blessing to us. And direct blessing is the purview of only the purview of believers. In fact, in a way, it's only the purview of the positive believer. Because as the believers advance in doctrine, they have more of God's word of truth in their thinking. And the target for the blessing is the truth. That's what's interesting. That's how capacity works. It's not that you do something different per se, although you probably will because you're operating in compatibility with your thinking. It's that God targets truth. Everything about life is about truth. And because God is truth, Jesus is truth, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. I mean, the one word, there's a couple words that define God. You can go to his essence and see it also, and those are the words that kind of define him. But there's two really big words that define God. One is love. As to his essence, he's love. God is love. That's a verse. But also, God is also truth. So, love is a product of truth. Now, that's where the devil gets all people all messed up. They think that love is a product of emotion, sentimentality. No, 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 no. See, doctrine precedes love. You got to have doctrine, which is truth, before you can have love. Because you can express what the world calls love without having truth, and it's not love. Now, the world will call it love. They think it's a good thing, that you're doing a good thing for somebody, so that's love. But that's not necessarily true. The question is, why did you do it? And if you did it for the right reason, it might well be love. That's fine. That's good. Maybe. But the problem is, you got to do the right thing in the right way. So you might not have done that had you known the truth. So the truth is everything. That's why accurate doctrine is critical. As we'll see here in a little bit if we get that far today. In Proverbs 15, 14, and 15, we have the mind of intelligence seeks knowledge, and a good heart has continual feast. Now again, we have the correlation between food and information. This refers to the believer feasting on God's word of truth. That is the predicate for everything we want in life. You see, everything we want relates to God's word of truth, which because that relates to God, who is truth. I mean, it's perfectly logical when you understand the process. It's rational thought from a position of awareness in the power of God under the ministry of the Spirit. It's not irrational. It's not emotional. It's pure rational thought. And it has to do with compatibility with God himself in the final analysis. That's why Jesus is the only way of salvation. Because the only way to be saved is to be compatible with God's provision for salvation. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's nothing you can do that. You have to believe. Now, people chafe on that. Well, I'm not a good person if I don't do something. Well, yeah, you are, because your position in God makes you that. Because truth relates to the reality that God expresses through grace. See, that's where the grace component comes in. So God in grace provided Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. And when we believe in him, the results of that sacrifice accrue to us. And we become God's righteousness because of what God gives us on the basis of what Jesus did. And it's not about doing anything. It's simply about being what you should be. And then he asks us after we're saved, or it recommends, that we advance in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Because then you begin to accrue what God has done for us on the basis of grace. And that begins to set up a capacity in us to acquire, receive from God. Remember, it's always grace. Receive from God. So that's why the right words are necessary. You could use the word acquire. The problem with acquire, it often is used in the process of somebody doing something. Receive is actually a better word there. We receive from God what He wants to convey to us on the basis of grace. So we do acquire it, but it's not something we do, except for being in the right place at the right time for the right reason. This works because God's word of truth is in the heart of the soul, becomes the target for blessing from God under God's grace policy. That's the issue right there. The heart, that's why the heart is the issue. The heart is where God sees who you really are. That's not just what you do, but why you did it and how. It's everything about your motivation as well as your function, your activity. In Proverbs 18:16, the heart of the wise acquires knowledge of doctrine. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge of doctrine. So here we see that the heart, as it's fed, desires more information, more data. It's kind of similar to the way the stomach works. You'll find, if you eat more, you'll tend to want to eat more. I mean, a good way to lose weight is to eat less. Now, that's hard to do because your stomach wants more. But if you persist through that phase of wanting more, then and resist it, in other words, you don't satiate the stomach by putting more in there, you go hungry, then after a while, you'll not require as much food to be satisfied. And as a result, if you dropped it enough and your activity level is high enough, we got to have there's a balance between activity level, intake and output. Remember, it's an equation. You've got calories coming in and calories going out. Calories are a unit of energy. So if you drop your calorie intake and you maintain your calorie output, you're going to begin to, your body's going to require more calories, the same amount of calories you were using to keep doing what it was doing, but you dropped the intake, so you're going to start, the fat is going to start getting used. So, and of course, your body also reacts to that too, so it's not a zero-sum game. It's like conditional. It's like the Congressional Budget Office's scoring of Trump's bill. They scored on a neutral level. They didn't. Your body operates that way. Actually, it doesn't. It operates on. It gives you the reality, because it's gonna actually start constricting its usage of calories and your function of work. So you'll take less energy to do the work, and so it's harder to lose weight after your body's accommodated it. And it's like Trump's bill, the big beautiful bill that they're saying, oh, this is going to cause so many trillion of extra debt. It's not, because it's going to increase economic growth. That's going to pay more taxes, and so it's actually going to decrease debt because there'll be less deficit. So it's not a zero sum game. The left is like to make it that way because it benefits their lie, but it's not the way it works. So, you know, the reality is it's going to improve the, well, you give this bill, if it hadn't passed, there would have been a huge break on the economy starting the next year, because there would have been a huge tax increase. Because the tax cuts that Trump put in 2017 were going to come off in 2026. Your tax are going to go up by a quarter or a half. Okay? They were almost, Some people, they would double. And that's what they ignore that, the left. That they whatever, they're just morons. That's what they get what they deserve most of the time. Well, actually, they don't. Not yet. They need to go to the black hole. So, the heart of the wise acquires knowledge of doctrine, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge of doctrine. In this verse, the word translated mind, in the New American Standard, is the Hebrew word leb. Now, if it says mind here, if you look underneath, you see the word lib. Well, that's not mind. That's heart. Okay, so the American Standard mistranslates that word. If you go to the King James, it's going to be too hard to get over there. I'm not going to do it. But you just have to believe me. You can look up a few characters later. The King James, it's the Hebrew lib, so it should be translated heart. the King James and New International Version translated correctly. I didn't look at a bunch of them. The first couple I looked at translated right. So, but you can see it in the under. If you put the on my system here, you put your mouse over top of the word, and it tells you what your Hebrew is, and it tells you right there. Boom! It's called heart. So it's just a bad translation. That happens a lot. So that's why the pastor is supposed to go back to the original language. Because we're not talking about the mind in our topic. It's not our subject. I mean, it's there because it's part of the process of getting data. But it's the heart where the, I mean, remember, the mind assimilates the data and correlates it. And then once you think it's, you might think it's an okay idea, it dumps it into the heart, and that's where you got to believe it. See, everybody has their own truth. I mean, the leftists are always telling us this. Everybody's got their own truth. Then they make the lie. We got to respect their truth. No, we don't. We're going to get to that in a minute again. As I said, it's my next topic. We may want to understand their truth and why they have a wrong truth, because everybody has their own truth. And the truth is what they believe. But just because they believe something doesn't mean it's true. That's the big thing you got to understand. The only truth that's truth is the Word of God. So the fact that somebody believes something is true doesn't make it true unless it's consistent with the Word of God. That's why some places are better than others to live. We'll be talking about that in a little bit here. The ear of the wise is positive listen, related to humility from authority and orientation. So not only do you have to have discipline to listen, but then you have to have an ear to it. I mean, in other words, you're interested. That brings in the fact that the increasing amount of information for you is aiding and abetting your thinking, and so you like it. It's good. It's a good thing. I mean, if you think about, if you have an interest in something, say you have a hobby, a vocation, okay, and it's something you want to do or would like to do or aspire to do, whatever, it doesn't matter. But how do you start? You start reading about it, maybe, or listening about it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get data on things. You might be watching YouTube videos these days, those kind of things. So eventually you might actually get involved with it because you're interested. Now, it's the same with doctrine. Most people aren't interested in doctrine. That's why the filling of the Spirit is so critical. But nonetheless, the desire to have the information is part of the process of getting more. So you're right, it's a positive volition. So that's positive volition. In other words, you're interested in that particular kind of thing. I mean, there's some things you're not interested in. So you're not going to lend your ear to that. You don't care. But other things you do because you are interested. And sometimes you just don't care. And that's okay too, I guess. So not in the case of doctrine, but in the case of other things. Related to humility from authority orientation. With positive volition, God, the Holy Spirit, makes everything work together for good. So that's part of what the reason God, all things work together for good for those who love God, is because the Holy Spirit is working with the situation to create good out of the adversity. You know, that's one of the things we have a hard time with, is understanding that adversity can be a source of blessing from God in the devil's world. And so if God permits certain things to happen to us, it actually will improve our ability to understand how God's work, if we have the positive listening toward it. Now, we can go negative, too, and get all upset. And that's not helpful. But if we stay positive and humble about it, then we can actually learn from the process. And like I said, I use Job all the time as an example of that. Because Job was a righteous man. The Bible calls him that. What does that mean? Well, he was pretty much doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason most of the time. But he had a finite understanding of God based on what he had seen that far. And then God allowed him to be harassed and just kicked around like he was nobody by the devil. And in the end, Job saw how God came through for him in the whole process. And in the end, he says, I heard of you before, now I see you. So his comprehension about God increased radically in the adversity. I'm not saying he liked it. I'm sure he didn't. But nonetheless, it was beneficial for him in his ultimately in the eternal state, because he's going to now have greater blessing accruing to him in heaven than he would have had. And it turns out for him, because of where he happened to live in the time frame, it also did on the earth. Now, we don't have that guarantee. In other words, we may, in the church age, things are different. our blessings, the blessings God is going to give to us are in heaven. Now, he's going to keep us with what we need here. But he's not in the business of making us a big man on campus. We're not going to be the goat, probably, unless it's related to doctrine. And I think that's already taken by Paul. But nonetheless, goat means greatest of all time. Okay, that's an acronym. So you're not going to be the Tom Brady of anything in this on this life, most generally. You're going to be okay, maybe, and maybe pretty good, but you're not going to be the goat. Back in the time that Abraham and Job lived, you could be the goat. What's the difference? Well, visible heroes versus invisible heroes. They were visible heroes. Okay? Jesus was the last visible hero, pretty much. And you can kind of say maybe some of the disciples were, especially Paul maybe, because he was in the transition. But mostly we're invisible heroes. Because the power that we're deploying is spiritual. And the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his evil forces in heavenly places. So, people aren't going to see what we do, but God is. And the angels are. Some people will, if they're aware. But most won't. So you're going to be what's called an invisible. And that's why this great nation runs. That's why civilization runs. Our civilization, Western civilization. Invisible heroes. People who are living the Word of God in their experience in life and persisting in it regardless of the adversity. And then God targets that region or area for blessing. And the blessing by association creates the prosperity of the nation or region or part of the world. I mean, that's why they have the big... That's why the leftists are all upset about so-called white privilege. Because the last bunch of years that this stuff has happened, it's been mostly white people. I don't know why. I guess that's where they lived. Because this existed in other places, too. I mean, what were the two big areas of the church in the early church? I mean, there were two big centers of activity as things got rolling. Alexandria and Antioch were the two big centers. Okay, and so those were the areas. I'm not necessarily thinking there were white people. They might have been. I don't know. Who lived there during that time? You just go back and ask. I don't know. You go have to investigate that. I haven't. There might have been a lot of white people there. It hasn't always been the way it is now. So, I don't know. But I'm just saying those were the two areas where there were places otherwise in the world that had positive listen to God too. And they received great grace from God too. So it's not always white. In fact, white has nothing to do with it. It has to do with positive listen to God's word, irrespective of your race. So positive listen continuously seeks doctrine because doctrine reveals God's integrity. His motivation, his policy, and his omnipotent power. See, it gives you capacity to understand how the system works. And it's grace. It's not works. Now, again, when you're thinking grace, you're going to do grace. So it will affect what you do. But it's not based on what you do. It's based on how you think. And that's what most people don't get. It's all about thought. The heart of the wise refers to spiritual growth from the knowledge that is acquired through the teaching ministry of God's Holy Spirit. Categorical storage is where words are connected together into sentences, sentences into paragraphs, paragraphs into chapters, chapters into books, and books into libraries in the heart of the soul. So it's basically the accumulation of information. It's your AI. It's not A, though. It's I. Your intelligence. AI is when they try to copy it. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays. I mean, it's kind of, again, as I said, it's nothing to be feared. There's no fear for any reason at all. But it's not going to be a threat unless they loop it around wrong, which they're going to do. You can be certain they're going to do that. And if you look at the prophecies relating to the beast dictator and how that works out in the pervasive tyranny across the entire globe, the perfect description of how that works is AI. Because it's going to be in your hand and in your forehead. What's that? Well, probably the chip. They're going to read about you when you get it, when they make you get it. And if you don't get it, you get to die. So it's just going to get interesting. But I'm just saying that's what's going to happen. The technology associated with that, whenever that happens, is coming into fruition as we speak. because it really couldn't occur until then. Now, till now, we just haven't had the, there hasn't been the ability for the government to obtain and push power into the people as we have now. So that's where it's going to get interesting. But you won't be here as a church age believer. You're going to be gone. That can't even happen until you're gone. I mean, it can come up and play and be available, but it's not going to be deployed in any meaningful fashion. It's going to be destructive to the church, or at least not where the church is. It might grow up elsewhere. It's very powerful. In fact, it's probable. So Satan's going to have his dry runs. It's cognizance of various doctrinal categories that God uses to communicate spiritual information to the believer who's filled with the Spirit. Again, filling minister spirit because of grace. Knowledge is built on knowledge. Simple categories of doctrine lead to comprehensive, more complex categories of knowledge in the classification of vital information. So the more you know, the more you can know. Knowledge is built on knowledge. It's just like any other subject. The more information you have about that, the more capacity you have for understanding the next part of it. And I use mathematics all the time as a description for how that works. Because you can't do algebra unless you understand basic arithmetic. And you can't do trigonometry unless you or in calculus unless you know algebra. And so if you're lacking in some category that's a precursor for that activity, and you try to learn it, you're not going to do very well. Because you don't understand the concepts that undergird it. Okay, so you're better off to stop trying to learn something you don't know. That's something you don't have capacity to know. Now, you might not know it, but the question is why. If you have the right basics, or the right predicates down, and you try to learn it, you're going to learn it. It's going to work. But if you don't, then you need to go back and learn the predicates first, and then go learn, and then you'll be a lot better off, and you'll learn it a lot faster because you actually understand. So the reason people have problems with these concepts are that they don't have the predicates down. So they're trying to jump into some advanced system that they don't have capacity for. That's called arrogance. Arrogant people try to do things they can't do. Okay? Because they don't have capacity to do it. Now, a person who has capacity to do it will have no trouble at all because they know what it takes to make it play. When the professor puts it up on the board, they understand it. Okay? So it's just like anything else. Data is built on data. And in the Word of God, it's actually worse than that. Because you got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to be a believer in Jesus Christ who's filled with the Spirit to make it happen. Okay, so that's way more complex than that. Any unbeliever can understand math if they care. They have to want to do it, but it does take some discipline. But they can do it. It's very simple to mix God's promises with faith and the basic doctrine and function of the faith-based drill. But to understand how to apply more complex problem-solving rationales to the problems of life requires understanding of many various concepts of Bible doctrine. And when you understand that, that's actually categorically. That's why categorical doctrine is important, because when you have it collated in your brain, you correlate the data. So the verses that have information about that specific topic come together. When you think about them, when you go back and analyze them. So you're not just recalling one verse, you're recalling a whole bunch of them. And then you use that whole thing together, and that creates a greater power or greater confidence in God's provision for you. It really amounts to you having the doctrinal rationales in your thinking that match the reality of your situation. The big problem we have is the devil is constantly propagandizing with lies. So we don't know who we are, what we are, why we are, and where we are, and what we're doing because of the propaganda. You've got to overwhelm that with data from the Word of God. So your viewpoint has to stop being the cosmic viewpoint and start being divine viewpoint. That's why you have to have the mind of Christ. Because Jesus always had divine viewpoint. He never failed. Why? He never sinned. It's actually a sin to think cosmic viewpoint. Why? It's not according to doctrine. That's why. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's a Bible verse. What does that mean? That means it's not according to doctrine. So it's contrary to what the Word of God says. Like, for example, in our world today, we got this latest propaganda that men can be women and women can be men. Well, that is the most stupid thing you've ever heard in my life, almost. There are stupid things about it as stupid, but that's about as stupid as it gets. All right? So, and of course, it's perfectly rational that you could understand that even as an unbeliever, because you have chromosomes. And that stuff ain't changing. But these people actually believe that crap. And not only do they believe it, they're trying to foist that whole thing off on the country. The world. Can you believe that crap? Now Trump's pushing back big time. Good, good, good. They need to be squashed, people that believe that crap. We don't need them. Lock them up. If you gotta, I mean, just shut them down no matter what. Because that's a lie. And you build your viewpoint. Remember, what you believe is what you, your truth is what you believe. So these guys' truth is that. That's what they're doing. They're propagandizing this crap. And people accept this crap. They should never accept it. That's unacceptable. And we'll talk about that later here too. Because that's the problem. We got people accepting crap they shouldn't accept. And not even tolerate. There's no reason to tolerate any of that. Because it's a lie. Lies don't need to be tolerated. So we finally have a president that's kind of doing that somewhat. We'll see. Not enough, but he's trying. So, anyways, where we are. Requires understanding of many various concepts of Bible doctrine, so it requires greater capacity and thinking for the believer's heart. That's going to see all the rationales that you develop are in your heart. Eventually, the more powerful problem-solving devices are developed in spiritual adulthood for categorical application. So the more doctrine you have, the more you've advanced in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, you're more able to deploy the Word the way Jesus did it, and as a result, have the benefits of that information. Remember, the merit in the process is the data, not you. Don't forget that. It's the truth. The truth that's in your soul is the merit in the process, not what you do. Truth is the target. Always truth. And true because what? Jesus is truth. God is truth. The Holy Spirit of truth. Truth is God. God is truth. Instead of claiming a single promise from a single verse using the faith rest drill, you begin to connect multiple verses and claim entire doctrinal rationales. It's from the understanding of God's word categorically that you develop the rationales that create capacity to deploy more powerful doctrinal applications to your adverse circumstances of life. Okay? And when I say doctrinal, that means truth. A word that would substitute for doctrine there is truth. Because truth is doctrine. Okay? Logos. Logos. That's the Greek word for it. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was God and was with God. That's John 1:1. Both vocabulary and his categorical storage, vocabulary and categorical storage are essential for the renovation of the thinking. Cognition of technical vocabulary of Bible biblical information is necessary for the fulfillment of God's protocol plans. You got to learn the words. You got to understand the words. Because the words are what are going to save you. The words are the power. It can only be explained and understood in terms of spiritual mechanics, and therefore a technical spiritual vocabulary is required. Just like any other topic. I mean, again, if you learn, I talked about this last time, even in flying, there's different categories of flying. Now, there's basic flying where pretty much everybody starts. Unless you're flying gliders. You can start with a glider. A lot of people do. It's the cheapest way to learn how to fly. Why? It don't take no gas. You can fly around without any gas. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Gas is expensive. You know, it's like $5 a gallon for airplanes. Maybe a little bit more. It ain't cheap. So, anytime a prop is turned on a gas-powered engine, you're burning gas. Okay. If you're flying a glider, you can fly for hours if you can keep in the right places to be off the in like this summer. Beautiful. Perfect weather for that. Out west in the desert, great weather for that. You can go up all day for free. You get towed up and you pay $30 for the tow or 40 today's probably $40, $50, $60 for the tow. And once you're up there you're good to go for you can fly all day. All night. In fact out there you can fly as long as you want to fly. You gotta tell it to come down up there. Out here not so much because we just don't have the up to up. We don't have the weather that supports that. Well, actually, it's the mountains. The mountains, the hot desert and the mountains together. When they sit alongside each other, that's where you get the big waves. So, and you can fly for hundreds of miles. They've done it before. You can fly again. You got. I've flown out there in gliders. I've never flown a glider. I don't have a glider license. Thought about it, but just never did. But I've flown out there with pilots who were glider pilots. And you have to tell that airplane to come down to get it down. It ain't easy. You actually got to plan it. We would fly out over, there's a big lake where we were, a bit of a resort. There's mountains and a desert and a lake. And so we would get over there, and we want to keep flying, we'd get up between the desert and the mountains and keep going up, 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 up. But then eventually we wanted to come down. And so we had to come over the lake, and we just spiral around the lake. Because why? Because the lake is cold relative to the land. So you got a downdraft. Okay? That's how you get down. You got to get someplace where the air is going down. Because you couldn't get, you put the stick straight toward the ground and didn't want to go there. Because there's so much lift. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, there's different categories of flying. And when you fly, so there's a vocabulary associated with gliders, there's a vocabulary associated with regular airplanes, the little guys. And then there's a vocabulary associated with big airplanes. And if you get into jets, fighters and stuff, there's a whole vocabulary for that. So every kind of thing you do has a technical vocabulary. It's still different than God's Word. It has a technical. In fact, God's Word is even more technical because it's spiritual. It's not something a natural man can understand. So every term, including rebound, I mean, that's a coin term. It means acknowledging, you know, sin. But it's still, it's a word that means something, and it covers a whole ton of, a big idea with one word. Rebound, faith, rest, real, hope, spiritual self-esteem, virtue, love, as a problem-solving device. God's protocol plan, the operational type divine power system, the portfolio of invisible assets, escrow blessings, logistical grace blessing, imputation, justification, sanctification, glorification, election, predestination. That's just a few of them. But I'll bet you most of you guys can understand half of those words, if not all of them, to some extent. At least basically give me a rudimentary definition. Yeah. Well, can your neighbor? Can the guy that's going to church down the street? Bet not. Be surprised. Yeah, it'd be good if he could. I'd like that. That'd be good. But I don't think so. All have extensive doctrinal explanations that must be stored in both the vocabulary and categorical compartments of the soul's heart for application. So, again, you got to know those words. You got to learn them and understand their nuances, because there's different categories of some of this, too. Okay? It's not just one. The word doesn't simply mean one thing, necessarily. Well, it means one principle, but there's categories of the principle's application. So you got to understand it's the scope of the word, too. That's part of it. So every one of these words can actually be more than one, because you can break it down. But we won't bother if that's not our topic. But that's the kind of thing you got to know. And if you don't understand those words, you really don't understand who you are in Jesus. And you don't understand how to live the spiritual life. Because that's the predicate of knowing in words. In some way. I mean, you may not have to use that word exactly, but I bet you do. I mean, that's the word it is in the Bible. A lot of those words are just straight out transliterations. They're words that are in the Bible transliterated from the original language. So the next part of the heart, compartment of the heart of that we'll look at is the conscience. Now we're going to run some interesting stuff here. The Greek word syndesis means to know with. Basically, you're correlating data here when you have conscience. Conscience is a part of your soul that regulates your thinking. It's kind of like a governor on a car, or anything. Governor on an engine. Governor makes a car. A governor will limit how fast the engine can turn, or set it up to run a certain speed based on certain specifications. So a governor on a car will prohibit the car from revving RPMs faster than a certain amount. A lot of diesels have that kind of thing. Diesel, because they don't want them to rev up any more than so much. They want you to run high, but they don't want you to run them over speed. Most regular cars don't have a governor. They'll have them on other kinds, certain types of applications, though. A perfect example of a good governor, of a machine that has a governor is a generator. A gas generator, you put gas in it or diesel, and it starts and makes power. Well, that's got a governor on it. And it's run based on the air flowing off of the fan that's in the generator, the alternator part of the generator. Well, they're somewhere in that link between the in that box that you've got that generator in. You've got an engine, you've got a shaft, there's a fan of some sort, and then you have a alternator or a generator, depending on whether you're making DC or AC. Okay, so that whole thing makes a box that puts out power. You put gas in one end, start it, and on the outside come. You plug your lights in, and they come on if it's running. All right, that's how it works. Well, the problem with that setup is that the generator has to run at a constant speed to get the right frequency and voltage of power coming out the spigot, where you plug it in, the receptacle. And if it's the wrong voltage or frequency, it will burn up your thing you're plugging in. Okay? All right. So they got to regulate the speed of that motor so that it matches the appropriate speed for the voltage it needs to put out and what the frequency of it is. And the way you do that is you maintain the RPMs of the motor, that's where the source of the power is coming from, so that it's running at the right speed. And when you notice that you plug a big load on it, the thing goes, that's because you hit it with a load more than it was running at quiescently. And so it dipped down just a little bit. There's a little bit of tolerance on the frequency. And it came right back up because the governor, which is a throttle control, noticed that it wasn't going fast enough. So it holds frequency. It holds speed. If it sits there with nothing hooked up to it, it makes the same amount of frequency as it does when it's got a whole house loaded on it, if it can handle that. And the way it does that is with its governor. Well, that's your conscience. Your conscience is a governor. And so the Word of God is working in this as a governor. That's what we're going to talk about this time. This is important because this is critical for us to understand how we're supposed to think and why we make choices the way we make them. Because everybody's got one of these. Now, it may not be properly educated. Like, for example, a person who thinks a guy can become a girl and a girl can become a guy, they got a problem with their governor. Their conscience is wrong. Bad data. So they're going to crash and burn. You know, if they keep running that way, they're going to die sooner rather than later. So, I mean, they don't know that maybe, but that's what's going to happen. I mean, that's one of the outs God has for us. We go AWOL, he lets us die. It's called the sin of death. Anyway, it's the conscience. The Greek word syndiasis means to know with. So you have a correlation. The equivalent Latin is conscientia. So what we've got, it means joint knowledge. So you have knowledge that's correlated. Okay? And as we know as a standard, or to know as a standard. So this information is being presented as in conjunction with other data that you correlate. So it's consistent with it. It's in accord. It's agreeable. It's connected to. It's like the light. The light, when you plug the power in the machine in the generator, if it doesn't put out 110 volts, if it's a 110 volt generator, and 60 hertz, your machine is going to break. You plug your refrigerator in there, it's going to smoke it. the parts inside the refrigerator are going to turn to dirt. Real fast. All right? Because you're going to put too much heat in there because it's going to be the wrong frequency or the wrong voltage, one or the other. Or both. They're not a good thing. So anyways, to avoid doing that smoke and turning your refrigerator to dirt, in this case, in the case of a person, it's sin to death. It turns you to dirt. Because they put you 6 feet under. Anyways, that's what happens when people violate these protocols. The conscience means standard. We have the English word conscience that, as we can see here, is a transliteration of the Latin word conscientia. See, that's almost the same letters. See, that's because when the early church was operating, initially, after they had the Greek, they took it into the Latin because it was done in Rome. And then they taught for centuries out of the Latin. They didn't even bother with the Greek. And it wasn't until Martin Luther and the boys came along that they went back to the Greek and started teaching. Because why? Well, they realized that there was more specificity to the Greek. And the church was AWOL, especially the leadership, because they had been teaching from the Latin. And they become like we are in the United States, in English. We're teaching doctrine in English. And so it's wrong, because you can morph the English too far. an English word isn't as cannot be specified as tightly and rigorously with one word as the Greek can. And the Latin's similar. So that's the reason the Catholic Church, along with other people with weird ideas, the Catholic Church went off track over our centuries. And Martin Luther shows up, what, 1400s, something like that? And he goes and knocks and puts his things on the wall of the church. He's saying, hey guys, you guys are lying. And we're going to do something different. And of course that starts the Lutheran Church, which they had their own problems ultimately, but nonetheless it was better than the Catholic Church. And that's where the whole thing, that's where we get the Reformation. And that's really when prosperity began to launch in Western civilization, was after that. If you go back and look at the time frame, you'll see that. You know, that it was after the Protestant Reformation that serious prosperity began to accrue to Western civilization. It was almost a flat line from the church all the way up to the Protestant Reformation, as far as the way things operated. Nothing really changed much. But back when that happened, boom, there was an explosion in the church. Doctrinal. So it was truth, more data. And people were oriented to truth. And what's the connection between truth? Everything, freedom, happiness comes from truth. Well, we've been talking about that. So that's why that became the critical pivot point for the church age. And why we are the way we are today as opposed to the way they were back in 1000 AD or 1400 AD, as the case may be. Because they weren't much different between 1400 and 100. Okay? They were still burning wood. That kind of stuff. Nowadays, and then they found a whole lot of stuff they could do besides wood, which we're doing today now, maybe. Sometimes, unless the morons on the left decide to take over like they've done the last bunch of years. Which is why your electric bill's so high. The conscience is divided into two parts. The place for the norms and standards that are developed from God's word of truth. And the norms and standards that are developed from the old sin nature under the influence of Satan's cosmic system. So we have these two areas where data is stored that establish norms and standards in our life. And we're going to pick one of them to use. Or both sometimes, maybe. Depends on the culture we developed. So, but that's the point. We have but this is our governor. As I said earlier, it's like that box that controls the end speed of the motor relative to the load that's on it in the alternator part of it. The decisions a person makes are generally based on what a person believes to be right in their conscience. In other words, your truth. What your truth is what you believe, and that's what's in your conscience. And so you're going to live your life in correlation generally with that. And that's a problem, maybe. It depends on what's in there. If it's the right stuff, you're good to go. If not, not so much. That is why different cultures have different standards for acceptable behavior. You know, if you notice, we have standards here in the United States based on Western civilization and Christianity. Other parts of the world have other standards. You go to India, they got a whole bunch of stuff. You go to Muslimville, the Near East, they got a whole bunch of other stuff. All these places have data from there's a coup to them based on what they accept as behavior in their society. And it isn't necessarily what we accept here. Because ours is different most of the time because of where it came from. Okay? Theirs came totally from improvisation and ideas that came up from the they just dreamed these ideas up. And they aren't necessarily correct. That's the problem. If your decisions are based on your doctrinal norms and standards, then your decisions are good decisions from a position of strength that's based on God's absolute word of truth. This is why Christianity and Western civilization that is derived from Christianity is superior to all other cultures in the devil's world. Okay? That's something that's largely come under assault lately because of the wackos on the left. And even some people and Christians aren't so sure that they're right, which is stupid because they're right. If they better get right by teaching them doctrine out of the original languages, and then they got right. But that's why the West has the prosperity it has since the Reformation. Okay, from 1400 to now, we've had relative positive evolution across Europe into the Western Hemisphere, and that positive volition has led to prosperity from God because of truth. And that truth goes connected back to people's culture, norms and standards from the culture, which in our case happens to be Western civilization. It's also why woke multiculturalism is demonic evil. So one of the big attacks on Western civilization is multiculturalism. That's where the leftists, any moron who listened to what they have to say, will say that all cultures are equal. And it's a lie, because no cultures are equal. The Western civilization, the culture of Christianity, is the preeminent culture, and all the rest of them suck. And so we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to study your word. The blessing it is to have this information so that we can advance in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Deploy your word and be the beneficiaries of the process. Help us to do that as we go from here today. We ask this. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.